SBS Radio.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Cybel.
Well, you have a quite impressive background, receiving academic awards, volunteering to different organizations, and holding leadership roles. Having these experiences, we want to hear from you how it is for you being a millennial leader.
Okay.
First question, Rach, is what is your style of leadership?
Okay. To begin with, before I answer that, I have an aspiration, like a vision of what kind of leader I would like to be.
Okay.
So I'm working at being a leader who is collaborative, credible, and competent. This I call my three C's. Mm-hmm. So these three C's become my guiding principles in my style of leadership. I would like to be seen as an authentic leader, a results-oriented leader. And I believe that I can help people in my areas of influence become the best version of themselves.
Okay.
So that's my style of leadership.
So that authenticity is there, right?
Yes, authentic leadership, yes, you're correct.
So can you tell us more about that authentic leadership?
Yeah, I see authentic leadership as being a leader who knows himself or herself. Seeing this as my one thing that I value, I would want to build on myself more. I would want to become more self-aware, have a strong moral compass. So in my drive to being authentic, I am working on knowing myself better.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in investing in oneself. I also put emphasis on pursuing excellence and being results-oriented. Also, people would want to see you deliver.
Mm-hmm.
It's one part of being a leader. And, well, being people-oriented at the same time.
Like going back to yourself and empowering yourself before
yes.
you can be a leader to others.
Yes, I really believe in that.
Okay.
Knowing yourself more.
All right. So, Rach, would you say that work-life balance is important to you and the people who work under you?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very important, especially with millennial leaders.
Mm-hmm.
If we're now going to millennial leaders, because I see millennial leaders as people who would want to find their own purpose in life, find meaning in what they do. So aside from just working and also seeing value in their work, I believe that having your own life and living your life outside of work is important. So having a work-life balance is really on the high list of priority for me, and I feel for other millennial leaders out there.
Okay, I guess it's it applies well to you because, like you told me, that you also enjoy traveling, right? Aside
yes.
from doing a lot of your studies and doing work, you also
yes.
find time to enjoy.
Yes, yes.
Why have you been highly engaged with leadership role?
Why?
Yes, why?
When I go back to my why, well, one of my most vivid memories with regard to leading people was when I was in third grade. So it was during the election of homeroom officers. I remember putting up my hand when the teacher asked, "Who wants to become president?"
Mm-hmm.
So as a child, I knew that I was already outspoken. I knew I was outgoing. I knew I wanted to be a voice for the people. And I wanted to be a voice that people will listen to. And as I grew up, it became quite natural for me to take on leadership roles.
Mm-hmm.
But really, as I developed as a person, like at my age right now, when I go back to my why, I see that I become engaged in leadership roles because I wanted to inspire people. I wanted them to dream more, to learn more, to do more, to really become the best version of themselves. And it's what I notice also in myself, like in my friends, in my close circle of my friends, they always ask me for advice. I have always been their sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that is one of my strengths, listening to them and seeing the best in them, just seeing what they can do, what they can achieve, and motivate them. So as a person, I knew I was that. And I knew I can maximize that with my areas of influence when I wear the leadership hat. So it's basically at my core, it's just to inspire people. I really wanted to inspire people, and that's why I become engaged in leadership roles, because I think that's the best avenue where I can exercise that, fulfill that desire.
And motivate people, right?
Yes.
You like to motivate them a lot.
Yes, to enable them to see what they cannot see.
Oh, that's
because
very beautiful.
Because sometimes people in themselves can be very harsh to themselves. Like, they don't see their strengths. They don't see what they can achieve.
They think very negatively.
Yes, and that's what I wanted people to see. I wanted them to see what they can do despite all those flaws. And I think I can do that best when I become a leader myself.
So like finding the potentials that they have.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Exactly. So what are your expectations to the leaders you work under?
Expectations to the leaders I work under?
Yeah. What do you look for?
When I look back, well, in my professional life, I've worked 4 years as a lecturer in the academe and another 4 years in the government. But when I think of a leader, my mentor always comes to my mind. And this mentor I have known for more than 6 years from my previous work in the academe. And I see that her characteristics become sort of my expectations or what I look forward to when I work with a supervisor. And this characteristics of her, it's like she's a strong woman, yet she's very empathetic and understanding. And she's very clear in what she wants. She clearly communicates to her subordinates and colleagues her views. She has high standards, and she does her best to meet her own standards as well and even surpass them. So I think those characteristics of her become sort of my expectations to the leaders I work with. Mm-hmm. I really look up to my mentor. She never lets people down. By the way, she works as an international development consultant, so she travels around the world. Mm-hmm. Majority of her work is through her networks and word of mouth about her performance. So she becomes sort of my standard. My expectations for myself also and for the leaders I work with.
And I think you're following her as well, because like what you were saying,
you were saying
a while ago that you're kind of like listening or supporting other people, and that's, you know, being empathic as well to them,
thank
right?
you so much. I really believe people are so blessed if they have people who they look up to. And I'm so blessed to have my mentor with me, and she really is a role model to me.
Are you still connected to her until now?
Yes, I am. But she's really traveling around the world, so sometimes I can't get in touch with her.
Yeah.
So she's so busy, but at times, yes, we email. But she doesn't have social networks, though. So, yeah, just communicate by email.
Okay, sure. So what sort of leadership training are you after?
Leadership training?
Yeah.
I see training as something that would allow me to enhance what areas I think I would improve on. So perhaps, for example, a leadership training on maybe how to think in a more strategic manner, or a leadership training on negotiation skills. Like, I am very much aware that I needed to enhance the skills further. And I think a training would help me on that. Because here in Australia, I've become exposed to a lot of virtual teams, like dispersed teams who are not physically within the same space. So I think also having a leadership training in leading dispersed teams or virtual teams is important, because, for example, as opposed to having a physical interaction, when you lead virtual teams, you can sometimes miss body language cues, or like the tone of voice, the eye contact, other aspects. So it's a challenge for leaders, and a training on this would be very beneficial as well for other leaders who are into this space of leading virtual and dispersed teams.
When you say virtual, is it online?
Online teams, like people who are in separate locations. Yes, online teams, yes.
So, yes, you told me a while ago, you spoke about the millennial leaders, right?
Yes.
So, having the opportunity to work with them and being one of them, what can you say about, you know, the young leaders today?
In my experience, the young leaders of the day, they are very driven.
Driven.
But this is if they know their why. So, they have to know their why first. So, as a leader, you have to enable them to maximize their own drive. So millennial leaders would not be motivated if they do not see why they are doing what they're doing. So we have to take time to explain why we do what we do. I always begin with the end in mind. This I borrowed this quote from Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Like, always begin with the end in mind. When they see this end in mind and they see where they fit, if they see where their role is, you can have the most dedicated bunch in your team. because they are dedicated leaders as long as they can see their whys.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to see it also in them. Like you have to see their strengths as well, how to best maximize their potential,
mm-hmm.
and help them also to find their whys. Although it lies in them, like they really have the task of finding their own whys in life. But
mm-hmm.
as a leader, you have to be able to see their strengths and somehow see what they can do best. And mm-hmm. that will really help them. And they are really dedicated once they know that.
Okay. So what did you notice to be the millennial leader's view of tomorrow's workplace?
From my observations and own experience, I perceive that they view tomorrow's workplace as such that would give them some flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were talking earlier about work-life balance. And I think that's very important in millennial leaders to have flexibility in doing their work while at the same time living their lives. They really value experience. I am a millennial leader. I also value experience. And experience in whatever form that would take, be that in experiencing traveling to new places, experiencing exhilarating activities,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. So tomorrow's workplace must be able to adapt to those trends
mm-hmm.
and to how millennials seek flexibility in work arrangements and how they can be able to achieve their work-life balance.
Okay, so they know how to have fun, like you.
Yeah.
Rachel, because you became an executive of Sydney Filipino Society. What did you learn about yourself during this journey?
As I've mentioned before, I've worked 8 years already back home in the Philippines before I came here. And going back to university life, not thinking about work, this really gave me more time for myself. Time to sit down, time to remove the noise, time to just reflect and spend time alone. I did not have the time or wisdom to do this when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate the time that I have here. From that, I was able to examine my own state of emotions, my own resolve, which I was able to practice as a leader in the Sydney Filipino Society.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in terms of interacting with people, being with the Filipino Society enabled me to increase my influence equity. Like, what are really my areas of influence? So, for example, within the executive board, we are composed of both undergraduates and postgraduates. I realized that the undergraduates, they really look up to the postgraduates.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that just by existing, by doing the things I do, by saying the things I say, I already influence them.
Mm-hmm.
So by being aware of that, it's really an insight for me that I am already influencing them just by being myself.
Okay, they are following you.
Yes. So being an executive of Sydney Filipino Society with undergraduates as composing also the executive board in the same space as I am, that was one of my realizations, that I really have to be responsible for my actions more,
mm-hmm.
Especially since I have people looking up to me. This I did not experience before in the Philippines when I work. It's really different when you're working and when you're in an organization, in a university.
How different
so,
is it?
Like when you're in work, your colleagues, so people have their own roles, they just do their work, they're responsible to their own selves and to their supervisors. But when you're in an organization, in university, there's so much more. Aside from being responsible to mm-hmm. the organization and to the members, there's also the camaraderie involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different from the nature of camaraderie in the workplace. And these are students, like undergraduate students, who are still forming, finding their own identity.
Very young, yeah.
Yes. Like, we're talking about teens. Like 19, 18 years old, 20 years old people. So I really see the responsibility placed in me and in my other postgraduate degree level officers that we are really serving as role models to these undergraduate students.
But are you pressured on that? Were you pressured?
Not really pressured, but I realize that I have to be more mindful.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be, it also helps me, like being a role model to them helps me also to be a better version of myself. So I see this also as a growth area. Like, I have this mindset of just having a growth mindset. Yeah, so it's really an area of improvement and growth for me as well.
Leaders are like that, you know, like they always try to have this positive mindset. Right?
Yes, sure.
All right, sure. So what were the lessons you'll bring with you on your next leadership role?
Oh, wow. Good question. Yeah, lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my lessons is that, for example, building networks can be learned. My network's really broadened in my experience here in Australia. I've been here for 1.5 years, but my network's broadened exponentially than when I was back home in the Philippines. It's very interesting because these networks are varied and diverse, like not only from my own discipline and area, but also from other disciplines and walks of life, other cultures, other nationalities. It really opened a lot of doors to me when I met many people here in Australia. And that lesson, that building networks can be learned, is a lesson for me. But it can be learned, yes, but sustaining it is also another lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, building networks is easy. You can meet a lot of people, especially in a country like Australia, in a city like Sydney. But I must be also ready to invest time and effort to cultivate that relationship. So an acquaintance will remain an acquaintance if time is not poured in investing into that relationship, in cultivating that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the lessons. Like, you can meet a lot of people, but investing time in growing that relationship is also another lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, getting feedback. Getting feedback is crucial in leading.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I became more confident in seeking feedback when I came here in Australia. I seek feedback now from peers and colleagues, which I did not do before.
Okay.
In my own workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before, I just sought feedback from my supervisors, from my mentors, but I did not seek feedback from my peers or from my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Australia, it's an equitable society. I really admire how this country is so equitable and so,
There's no power imbalance, right?
Yes,
there's no power distance.
Yes, yeah. I agree with you. So it's so easy to seek feedback from peers or from colleagues. And it's one of the things I learned here. At the first, it was difficult, but as I got to practice it more, really the key is to practice, it became sort of natural to me to just seek for feedback from them.
Okay.
So this is one of the very invaluable lessons that I've learned here in my stay in Australia and being an executive of the society as well.
So practicing it, like, it became a habit.
That's true. Yeah, you're correct. Yes.
Okay. So as my last question to you, Rachel, what can the younger generation expect among the millennial leaders in the future?
Oh, the younger generation can expect that the millennial leaders can understand them. I think I see the millennial leaders as the most understanding among the leaders across generations.
Okay.
Because it is the millennial leaders who straddle between the analog generation and the digital period. They know how to interact with people who are older than them. They also know how to interact with people who are younger than them using all communication channels available. Like, I think it's only the millennials who know how to use all of them. From speaking face-to-face to using technology, using the internet. It's the millennials who straddle in between this period. So I see millennial leaders as the most understanding of all leaders. They get the people who are older than them. They also get the people who are younger than them.
Okay, coming from the millennial leader herself, Ms. Rachel Ann Bassas, thank you very, very much for sharing your time today.
Thank you so much, Saibel, for having me. I really enjoyed this interview.
Inyong komunidad, inyong usapan sa SBS Filipino.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.